I want to parent in a way that leads my children to recognize and trust the Lord. I have no idea how to do that except to take what the Lord has planted in me and give the fruit of it to my children. After all, tiny seeds grow mighty trees. Welcome to the Seeds and Trees Podcast. I'm introducing this next podcast a little bit of a different way. I get to minister locally here where I live, and we have an Able Moms group that meets at my church. Able Moms is an international ministry that is for equipping and supporting moms to be just like memorable and capable moms. I absolutely love the ministry. I love the vision behind them, and I get to serve with them on a national scale, and then I also get to serve within my community just by giving devotionals here and there during the year as a fill-in is needed. So this devotional that I gave really piggybacked off of episode 2, and I just wanted to include it. So if the audio sounds a little bit different, because I recorded it just off of my cell phone, but it's the same story with my son that came out of episode 2, and I just thought the way that the Holy Spirit lighted on it and the way that the Holy Spirit has done a complete work in my heart about it was just necessary to share. I hope you enjoy. You know what? One of my favorite things to hear an older mom say is that she didn't know what she was doing. I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank you. Because I feel so often like, what do I do in this moment? We were sharing highs and lows at the table. We had just barely gotten into it, and I started to tell a story. I'm going to finish it really quick because it was dramatic. Yesterday at the Frank household, I had to call my boys home from a friend's house, because at the Frank house, you do your responsibilities and then you have freedom. And if you take your freedoms before you have responsibilities, you have extra responsibilities to remind you the next time you do your stuff first. So they had been called home from a friend's because they didn't do a chore. And I think the mom said something like, your mom said you didn't do your chores and you have to go home. So they both came home fuming, because both of them have a strong personality and are offended when anyone says that there's something lacking, you know? So they both come home fuming, and the little one's like, what is it? What do I need to do? Does it? Goes back out the door. I mean, and we talked about his heart attitude, and he was just like, yes, mommy, yes, mommy, yes, mommy, back out the door. And, but my big one is moving into an age of reasoning, okay? So his brain chemistry is changing, and I love this for him, and I'm so proud of him, but I get stuck in conversations with him, and there are few that can out-talk me or out-reason me. Like, I lived for high school debate. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I, like, reveled in, let me think through everything you're saying and pick it apart, and such as one has been born unto me. So, he's going after like how difficult his responsibilities were. And his responsibility that he did not do was to feed the chickens. And it was my husband that was, and doesn't this just fry you sometimes? It was my husband who was mowing the lawn, who called me while he's mowing the lawn, and I'm just in the house, to tell me that the chickens had not been fed. But now it's my responsibility to bring everybody home to feed the chickens. And then in the discourse of what's going to happen, it is on me all of a sudden. And part of me is like, if you saw that they weren't fed, why don't you handle all of it? But no, I get the call. And not that I want to mow the lawn either. So I don't know what exactly I'm asking for. But anyway, so he's home. And the reason he didn't feed the chickens is because all the feed was out. There's extra feed bags in the garage. But the feed bucket is in the shed, and that would just be like an extra step in a whole thing. And so I guess the chickens go without food today was his reasoning. So he's back in the garage, and I'm helping him put this 40-pound bag on his shoulder. And I got a big 10-year-old, so y'all don't judge me, but I'm helping him put it on there. And I'm like, just, you know what to do, just go ahead and do it. And he sasses back, and so I remind him, you have freedoms when your responsibilities are completed. And you know what it feels like when you're already at like a 9.5 and somebody reminds you of the value of the principle of why you're doing the right thing that you need to be doing. And it does. And it hits me. And I'm like, I know what it is. Like, get off of me. I get it. But he got so mad. He takes his 40-pound bag and he slams it on the ground. And I'm like waiting for it to bust everywhere. And if you think that I'm picking up chicken pellets out of grass, freshly mowed grass, I'm not. I'm not doing that. So I was like, this is going to be a huge disaster. So I put my hands up like to like react to it. And he puts his hands up like, I don't need anything from you right now, lady. And then I was mad. And then, you know, can you see it? Like two strong personalities? Okay. So he goes, I don't need anything from you right now. And I was like, I think you do. I think what you might need is to pull on the Holy Spirit right now, because this could have gone everywhere. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, I can't just pull on the Holy Spirit the way that you do, Mom. And I, in that moment, I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, what are you going to say now? What are you going to say now? And I like got close to him, even though I'm still like fried inside. I got close to him and I was like, will you please look at me? He's like looking at the trees, looking at the grass, and I'm like right in my eyes. And so then it's like, you know, I'm like, no, right to me. And I put his face in my hands and I was like, you have everything that I have, all of it. You have all of the Holy Spirit in you. He is as big in you as he is in me. I do not have extra. He's like, it's different for you because you know what to do with him. Oh. And I thought, well, thank you. But but also, like, right now, I don't know what to do. Like, right now, I'm just like, don't blow it. Don't break his spirit. Don't make him feel condemned. Don't make him feel ashamed. Somehow, build him towards responsibility. Somehow build him towards wisdom, build him towards wanting to do the right thing, having the heart to work unto the Lord and not to your parents, because it's from the Lord that you receive the reward of your inheritance. Like, that's what I'm trying to cultivate, but he is just ticked and the feet is on the ground and everybody's up here and he thinks that I have more than him. And what have I been doing for the last 10 years with him? If it is not to know that the fullness of God is in you, just like it's in all of us. And I pull on him and receive from him the same way that you need to. Like, if I have not been creating a level playing field for us in the last 10 years, like, what have I been doing? And I was thinking, I got to watch this video a little bit early, just in preparation for today. And I was thinking about what Solomon said. And, you know, there's parts of scripture that you read that there are, how do I want to say this? There's people that are canonized in scripture that say dumb things. And so you don't pull that verse out of scripture and be like, see, scripture says it. That's not like what you do. And so Solomon, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, part of it was written in one generation of his life. But the next part of it was written when he was actually serving idols and marrying women from other countries, which was absolutely against what Jewish men were allowed to do, especially a king or a priest. So in verse 8, we're getting later, because what is Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters? Yeah. So in verse 8, we're getting into the portion of his writings where he is falling wayward to the things of God. But remember, there is no man that had the amount of wisdom that Solomon had in his day or has had it since. God the Father declared over him, no one will ever be as wise as you. Which is really interesting to think of, that you can contain as much wisdom as God would give you, and that the Queen of Sheba and everybody from across the world would come and visit your palace and get to know you, that nobody would prosper the way that Solomon prospered. And yet wisdom does not draw us into repentance and to following the Lord. Like, you don't just finish well because you have wisdom, which is very scary.
Yeah.
Because we're also told that wisdom is the principal thing. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how do I finish well? So how do I not just like... And the conversation with my 10-year-old ended well, right? Like, it really was a moment where I'm like, I promise you that you can pull on Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that, and the way that I try to describe it to my children, is like, when you need patience... And you're like, your brother is in your face and you're like, I'm about to smack him. which they typically do. There's nothing unusual in my household. It's not like all of these things are yet being utilized. It's not like anybody, you know, under the age of 30 is like walking in a lot of maturity. But we grow in these things, right? Like I'm planting seeds, I'm sowing them, I'm watering them. And I'm just like, this is going to grow, right, God? These little things are going to grow. And when you talk to the older moms, they assure you that they grow. And I like hang on that stuff. Like I'm like, it does, they do. Okay, that's fine. All right. Okay, I can make it through today then, just like on the hope that it's going to grow. But in that moment with him, I assured him, like, I'm telling you, I'm pulling on him in this moment so that I can be good and kind and gracious to you. Like, I'm pulling goodness from Holy Spirit right now because I don't feel good, but I'm pulling goodness from him so that that's what comes out of me towards you. So if you need self-control or if you need joy in this moment because you are totally miserable that you have been pulled away from your friends to do this and you think I am ruining your life, you could have joy right now. And it is the thing of inside your spirit because Holy Spirit's in our spirit. So it is a spirit thing that overcomes the flesh where you're going, I need joy, I need joy, I need joy. And it is that feeling of like you're pulling on him. You're leaning into him. I need joy in this moment. And so then he comes up and out of you with joy. And so then you give a different answer to me, but I am required also to give a different answer to you. And the wisdom in that is to know, when do I need to pull on Holy Spirit? And when do I just like, you know, need to slap somebody? Still learning that. He slung, this is how it really ended. He slung the bag back over his shoulder with no help, mind you, because joy had not been received or pulled on. We just had talked about it. And so the moment was beautiful to me, but he like slings it over, you know, and he walks away and I like call after him. And somebody's like pulled up in their driveway over here. And I know that they can hear us hollering. We're not a quiet family. And I said, I promise you that we're the same. I promise you that we're on the same team. And he goes, I really doubt it. And he like walks on out. And so here I am, right, having this like moment where I'm like, we're together. I promise you, we're together. And he's like, bad chance, lady. Okay. But I am hoping that what rings in his mind is, she's with me. She's the same as me. My dad's the same as me. We are all just face forward to the Savior. We are all just at his feet. We're all at the empty tomb. He's resurrected. He's ascended. The fullness is in us. I lack no good thing, right? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack no good thing. But pulling on that in the middle is wisdom. Here's what Solomon says in 8. Remember, he's starting to lose himself. He's not finishing well. Chapter 8, verse 2 of Ecclesiastes. I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from the king's presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he, the king, does whatever pleases him. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps the command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter, there is time and judgment. Though the misery of man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. That means like you can't cheat death. And no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. And wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. A little bit earlier in 7, verse 12. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. Think about that. Have you ever been without money? Have you ever been with money? It fixes things. You can't get around that. Money fixes things. It is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. It gives life to those who have it. So that in a moment when our misery is increasing, I can pull on he who is life. Like money can't fix stuff in your relationships. It cannot. Unless you're married to someone who's completely vain and you can just buy them things. But it cannot fix things. It cannot heal things. What are you going to do the day that you die? You going to fix that with money? You are not. What are you going to do when some powerful overlord or overreaching government, per se, comes in and demands something of you that you're not willing to give? Is money going to fix that? No. Misery increases, but wisdom brings life. There is a time and there is a judgment. There is a time and there is a judgment. And judgment means that that which has been sowed is reaped. So there's positive judgments that what I continually sow into my children is reaped one day. Whatever seed I put in them, mind you, grows. That is so sobering. There are so many times that I'm like, I see something come out of them and I'm like, oh, and I think I've said this to y'all before, but it just is, I see just like the constant repentance of in motherhood where you see something come out of them and you're like, oh, I planted that. Mm-hmm. And you go, rip it up, Lord, please rip that up by the roots, please. Like, oh, I need grace for that. Rip that up. Undo that. Heal that. Because there's a time and there's a judgment. Now, we live under the new covenant of Christ, which Solomon, you notice, is not mentioned in Hebrews 11. Is he? Oh, now I say that, and now I'm second-guessing myself. He's not mentioned in Hebrews 11. So he didn't have an eye for the Savior, for the Messiah that was coming. He had wisdom, but he didn't finish well, right? So while he served God for the majority of his life, then he had these great failures, and Israel was thrown into, you know, idol worship for generations, which, you don't want to be the one to ruin a whole nation. You know what I'm saying? Like, David went through a lot for the throne, Solomon. Like, you got to keep it, preserve it. Anyway, does it ever strike you when people are like, I want to be like David, you know, a man after God's own heart, and then you're like, David ruined his whole family. Like, his kids hated him. He tried to, like, sell his daughters off. One of his daughters was raped, and he didn't do anything about it. The warrior, the mighty man, didn't do anything for his own girl. Are you kidding me? And then Solomon was it? And you're just like, I don't know. Sometimes I have to really look at that stuff in scripture. He was a man after God's own heart because he continually repented for all of the junk. And the Lord was like, yeah, we're going to keep you close. But like, he still screwed it all up. There was a time, there were seeds, and there was judgment. But now we live under Christ. And Christ has drawn all judgment onto himself at the cross. And there is, and this is a strong statement, but it is fully supported by the New Testament. There is no more judgment coming from God. The work of Christ is finished. But there is still judgment because we still, in our authorities, remember, we have the keys to the kingdom. So we still sow seeds. And in our authority, we get to choose whether they're seeds of life or whether they're seeds of death. And they come to fruition. And some of them feel like judgment. Some of them are judgment. But it's important to know whose hand the judgment is coming from and that we don't attribute things to God, which are actually where we just left the door wide open for the enemy, where we agreed with the enemy. And so consequences and judgment were sown in our lives. That's not a God thing. That's just a thing. That's a king thing. That's a people have control over other people groups and they can swing in the enemy on an entire people group. But we've never seen the righteous beg for bread. We've never seen the righteous go without. And we have assurance of our salvation, that we have wisdom and life in this day, that we continually sow those seeds. And that even though, what is it that Hebrews says? That even though you might live in the land of the wicked, that the people of God are quietly at home and at rest. And sometimes I look at the world and I'm like, all right, Lord, like I see it, but I'm going to be quietly at home and at rest. That's the seed I'm going to sow. You make that fruit in our lives. And I'm not going to plant the seeds of judgment of the world. And you're going to cover me because I'm in a different kingdom, right? He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. So my entire life looks different. So when there's anger between me and my child, the interaction goes differently. Because there's a time and there's a judgment. But my judgment's going to be peace. My judgment's going to be life. And when it's not, because I'm not perfect, I'm going to go, please rip it up. Please rip it up. So let's have wisdom in the day. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. And we just ask for it over and over again. I mean, what do I do right now? Where's my wisdom right now, Lord? What is it? And it's interesting because isn't it funny that wisdom is not a fruit of the Spirit? It feels like it should be. But it's not. It's its own spirit. It's continually called the Spirit of Wisdom. And I don't really understand that. But it is separate somehow from Holy Spirit. Not that Holy Spirit doesn't give us wisdom. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's a... I said that funny, didn't I? That it was like a totally different spirit. What I'm saying is it doesn't see... It's not a fruit. It's not a gift. It's its own kind of spirit. I don't get that. But I'm going to live it out somehow. And maybe when my kids are grown, I'll get it. But in the meantime, like, I'm not going to go without it. I'm not going to pretend that it's not right at my fingertips, that it's not right inside of me, rivers of living water in my belly, that that's the thing that needs to come out of me. Let me pray for you today. Lord, we bless you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you, God, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with God and with man. Thank you that you grow us up as your daughters, as your children, in wisdom and stature with you and with man. We choose, we declare over our children, over all of our lineage, that they will grow in wisdom and in stature with you and with man. We set our hearts towards you. We set our hearts towards a spirit of wisdom that only you can give. We recognize that our own way leads to death, but that you have a way that leads to life. And the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. We bend to you. We yield to you. You are our King. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.